This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. I've been musing, you know, like you do. I've been musing about thriving, what's involved. We all want to grow in confidence, grow in skill and level of ability, and lots of other ways that we'd like to grow, to become enlarged in positive ways. Not talking about those things that need diets, but to be enlarged in our inner beings, in our center of who we are, and all the things around that, so that we are in a good place. That would be good. I'd like us to all be in a good place. How can we make progress? How can we have that sense of achievement? Really, I'm talking about thriving. How can we thrive? Alpacas need this too, of course. We will come back to them in a bit. First of all, I want to look at you. I want to talk about you and what you're doing. Here are three things I think that will help you to thrive. Number one, find a place to sit. This is a place that is to-do list free. It's not a place for to-do lists, checklists, agendas. It's a place to be, a place to concentrate on being, not doing. It's a place to sit and to think. I think we don't give enough time to thinking and reflecting. And I'm just encouraging you to think about a place where you can find that you can sit. All weather, that's going to be a challenge for some of us. Wet whales. But finding a place where you can sit, which means that you've got space, you've got a view, you've got fresh air, you've got sunlight, all those things that are really good to have. But you're also in a place where you don't have to do anything. There's nothing to be done. It's a sitting place. You're not going to spend hours and hours there. Well, you could, but you don't have to. But just having somewhere that you can go to for half-hour holidays, for a time to sit and enjoy just reflecting and thinking. And this might not feel very much like it's progressing things, but actually it is. This is going to do you good, and it's going to help you bring clarity about what is going on, what you need to do, what you want to do. And that brings me to point number two. Be clear on what you want. Make room for it and head in that direction. So out of our reflections, out of our thinking, we can become clearer about what it is that we want. Most things can't be done immediately. There's no simple answers to complex questions. And most of us are living with complex questions. But there are things that we can do which say, this is the direction I'm going to go in. This is setting an intention to head that direction. So find a place to sit, to do your thinking, and then become clear about what it is that you want. I think these things give strength and resilience to us. These are the things that are added, strength and resilience, so that we can keep going, so that we can be in a place where we can be what we need to be when that unforeseen situation arises, because it's going to. You know, you've already had them, haven't you? You've had those unexpected twists and turns, drops and hill climbs that you weren't planning on. This wasn't supposed to be happening. And yet, there you are. So you need to cope with those things, because that's life. And being able to be strong and resilient, I think it is served by finding a place to sit and being clear in our mind on what we want. The third point that's going to help us thrive, stay connected. Find some like hearts. people like you, people that see things in a similar way. They're not going to be identical, but it's a similar way. It's somebody that you just connect with, you click with, you find they're not draining, but they're life-giving. They build you up. They don't have to do anything specific, but they just help build you up and make you feel positive and have a sense of hope and of future growth potential. So stay connected, find some like hearts and stay in touch with them. Maintain that. Now, often with relationships, particularly as you get a bit older, you start to find that it feels like, do you know, that I'm doing all the running here. Yeah, it just does. It feels like that. It's not true, not completely true, but it feels like it. And there are things that you can do to stay in touch, but you've got to invest some time and effort into that. It's down to you to do that. Now, the likelihood is that the other person will also, this like heart that you've connected with, is also going to do the same. But just a warning, it feels like sometimes you're the only one making the effort and making the running. Find some space with them. Room for growth. Room for sitting. Oh, there's a thought. Can you sit? Can you both sit? Have you got a place where you can both sit? It's not often that I get the chance of connecting with my people that I connect with physically. We're just not in the same space most of the time. So how else do we do those things? Well, there's plenty of electronic means, isn't there, that we can stay in touch. Do that. Make connections and stay in touch. Find a place to sit. Have a think. Be clear on what you want. Make room for it and head in that direction and stay connected to like hearts, people who are on the same wavelength as you. So how does that apply to alpacas? Well, we can put the similar kind of things in there. A place to sit. Alpacas like to sit, don't they? But a place where they can feel comfortable and relaxed and, yeah, no threats. They probably want to have a bit of a view so they can see things far enough. I'm amazed just how much they pick up on little movements. Some things they ignore or appear to ignore. Other things they give a lot of attention to. And I've noted that wagtails, we have some wagtails down by the lake, and they kind of land and then they flip their tail. And they're tiny little birds, but that movement catches the attention of the alpacas. They want to be there. They want to understand, what is that? What is going on? I need to go and check that out. So they all move towards it. And of course, that makes the bird fly off. But there's a wagging. So it's a small thing, but there's a movement. They're tuned in to movement. From a distance, they'll pick up on things. I sometimes find them suddenly staring up on the bank side above me and I have to work hard to work out what it is. Sometimes it's a bird. Sometimes it's something else. Maybe a fox. Not often, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a rabbit or those kind of things. I've talked about those things before. They catch their attention. And if you can get on the same head angle, you've got to kind of tune into where they're looking and try and view. And then you kind of got to zone out a bit. Use your peripheral vision to pick up on movement and things that they're seeing that you might not. They've got very good long-distance vision, alpacas. So they will pick up on those things and larger things. They don't seem to be bothered too much. They give a bit of attention to the geese when the geese are in among them grazing on the grass, same area. And the geese have been coming over into the alpaca field, actually, and near the hay feeder, and they come over and the geese, they brought the ducks with them the other day. There's the ducks. They don't normally come in, but they'd come in with the geese. And then this morning, there were the ducks by themselves. There were no geese in sight, but the ducks had come in to the field as well. And there's that's a funny looking duck. What was that? And it was a little bit bigger, and then it turned, and there was this long tail. I think, what am I looking at? I had to get the binoculars out. And it turned out it was a pheasant. Oh, do you know what? It was a pair of pheasants. It was a male and a female. That's the first. We've heard the males around in the undergrowth and various little tiny copses and things around in the valley. And you hear them call, but occasionally see them. But yeah, no, so the male was there with the female. So there's a pair of them. That's exciting. We've still got the goosanders around. We've got a pair of swans that have come back again. And the swans and the geese are kind of hanging around in the same space. That's quite interesting. Not quite sure what that's about. Are the geese kind of being sticking close? Are they being friendly? Or are they sticking close and making sure that the swans don't think about using the geese's nesting sites? Perhaps that's something in their minds. And then there's the ducks around as well. So there's all these. There was a little queue down the bank on the other day, at the far side of the lake. You've got a line of them. There's the two swans. They got out of the water and they were on the bank. Wow, that's unusual. So there's a swan. Next down, the geese. Next down, the goosanders. So you've got the bright white of the goosander. So they're bigger than the ducks. The ducks were around somewhere as well, but on the bank at the far side, it was just really funny, this three in a row. And they seem to be getting on absolutely fine. And the alpacas are noticing all these things. They're not too keen to get too close to the swans. I think it's mutual. The swans don't want the alpacas too close either. So there's a bit of posturing and stuff going on. But generally, there's an acceptance. They know what a threat is. They know what isn't a threat. And the geese generally, they'll hiss a bit and they'll kind of move the alpacas away if they get too close. But generally, they like being in each other's company. Finding a place to sit where there's no threats. Being clear on what they want. Well, generally they are. They'll decide which direction to go. They'll decide, oh, we're going to stay here because we're going to keep out the wind. Or we're going to be here because this is where the hay is. And we're a bit hungry. We fancy some hay today. Or actually, we want to go for a walk. We're going to go down to the fields at the far end. Or the woods at the far end. Or somewhere down the far end. So they head off and they're gone. Never sure where they exactly get to until I go back down there and see the footprints. Clear on what they want, they are. And if we can make that available to them and work with them, things that we know that they like and that they would want, if we can provide that, that's a good thing to be doing. And then staying connected. Well, they want to be with the herd. They want to be in sight and in touch with each other. Some more than others, of course. But generally, they want to be connected with the group. And it's been interesting the way that it will spread out, but they do feel the connection. And if there's any kind of a threat, any kind of a something going on, they will bunch up and they will turn into a tighter group of animals together. So let me encourage you, if you can, find somewhere to sit. You've got to find this other place where you're going to do that more regularly, but find somewhere to sit where you can be in the middle of your alpacas. If you can, spend some time with your alpacas and breathe. Though it's too intense. And breathe. Just relax. Allow that sense of thriving to develop. Have a think about where you want to go and lean in that direction. Stay connected. And if you want to give me a shout, I'd love to hear from you. And I will shout back through the podcast. Okay, take care. Have a good week. Bye for now. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.